Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. This is the Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business series that we do on the first business day of every month with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Manufacturing Report on Business, which is so good this month, Lou. I just am thrilled to have Tim on the air with me.
I am just tickled peachy.
As am I.
And certainly,
yes, Tim, you are.
You may make the news today or tonight's 6 o'clock news.
Well, maybe we'll get quoted again. But this thing beat expectations. I think the consensus was 54.4, and I think last month when I mentioned it, I thought if we got to 54, we'd be doing really well. And we're at 56, really strong month. And if you look at it. A couple surprises here. The new order number being so strong was a surprise. And then the inventory number, yeah, really strong. And then the inventory number dropping so much was a surprise too. So you could almost argue that, okay, if inventory didn't drop as much and new orders didn't rise as much, you'd still be sitting at a 56. So that's a good report.
Okay, so let's tell our audience what we're not telling them about, the new orders and so on and so forth. So I won't take your thunder, Tim. I'll let you give the numbers.
Okay, so came in at 56, best performance since November of 18. So, and that was kind of like the peak. The early fall of 2018 was where most of our industry sectors had peaked out, and I believe the PMI peaked there too. You know, I look at this thing in three dimensions, demands, consumption, and inputs, and we'll start with demand, fantastic, 67.6 on the new order side, supported by a new export order number that rose to 53.3, which is good. We finally got some life in that. It had been at 50.4 last month, and before that was contracting. So the global business is kind of coming back, which is a real positive. Customer inventory is at 38, which is the lowest it's been in 10 years, and that's good for future production potential, because the people that the panelists sell to don't have enough of their product to sell. And then the backlog came up to 54.6, and we all know that a decent amount of backlog allows us to sleep at night. So the demand was really strong. I mean, it was surprisingly strong. Like I said, I didn't expect it to be this strong. And it was pretty much across all industry sectors, not just certain industry sectors, but all six of our big industries did report expansion, which was the same as last month. But if you look at the industries themselves and their own numbers, on the new order side. If you look at the industry sectors on their own, a PMI, we had five of the six in expansion territory. We had one weakly expanding, and that was transportation equipment. Finally came out of the contraction territory after a year, year and a half of contracting. So the four of the six really expanded well, strongly, best that they've expanded since summer of 2018, which is where, like I said, that's kind of the peak period. So, it feels like we're kind of running along. My other comments throughout the morning have been that August was really the first cure month. It was, 2 months after people had started to reopen. So their business processes and their supply chain linkages and their ability to plan and execute inside their own companies have matured. I'm sure there are still some issues existing, but nowhere near where they were when they started to open up in early June. So it's a good month to measure, what's happening. Now, the demand could be a bit of pent-up demand too. But I think if you look at the other elements, production, supplier deliveries, inventories, those three in particular, they show the potential that we can perform, and we can perform better than we did the prior month and at decent rates. Overall, I still think we're running well below pre-COVID outputs, but so let's not get confused by that. This doesn't mean that we're expanding better than we were at the end of 2019.
So regarding new orders, and I'm kind of jumping the gun on this because it's such an outstanding number. I don't want to wait till the end to ask you, so where is this going? So I'm going to ask you right now, at the beginning of the show, while we still have everybody awake, where is this going?
Well, it depends on the industry sector.
That's putting you on the spot.
Yeah, well, it depends on the industry sector, you know, so... Chemical products did really well. It's a global business. New export orders kind of hitting there, and it's a foundational business. I like to see that one do well. Computer electronics did well, too. Best performance, like I said, in a year and a half. And they're not constrained, really. But you look at others, like commercial aviation. I mean, that's going to – we haven't seen the beginnings of that really yet. You're starting to see airlines starting to lay off, but – that's going to ripple, and you know, you're in the aviation industry. They tend to move slower. It's a slower kind of thing. It's not like cars or you know, retail stuff. It tends to move slower. That's going to hurt. I mean, it's a big piece of the transportation equipment sector. So
Boeing is still laying off people, and they've cut back production, and the number of planes that they put out per month has dropped significantly. So, you know, they're the head pig in the group. I think it's going to take a while before aircraft comes back.
Yeah, it does, and that ripples through a lot of other industry sectors, right? It's not just the transportation equipment sector; it impacts others.
Right.
So, but on the other hand, you know, existing home sales, new home sales, all, you know, really, you know, burning, and in the last 2 months, taken off. Super taken off. Automotive sector back to pre-COVID levels. Surprisingly, and you know really good for the economy. The automotive sector is doing well. You get the oil and gas industry sector. That's a big contributor here, not only to the PMI but also to the services PMI, and because the mining sector is in there, and they got another year and a half to go before they're probably going to be investing, and. You know, a lot of comments from the panelists about lack of capital investment and deferring and waiting until the end of the year to make decisions. And I don't, at this point, I don't think that that's COVID related. That's election related.
So I was fascinated, Tim, to read through some of the comments I hope you'll share with our listeners from your respondents, which for the most part are very positive.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So there's a couple that jumped out that, you know, I made sure that got in there. The comment around how difficult it is to do business in this stay-at-home process. I forget which one made that comment, but you know, the difficulty, the inefficiencies in being able to execute with precision. You know, think about supporting a factory floor. You might be working in the factory. You may not be. If you're not, you're getting queries about special needs, you're trying to contact a supplier, maybe they're at their office desk, maybe they're not, and they have to contact somebody within their company to find out what's going on. It's now becoming clear that working from home is not the panacea that it kind of looked like when we started this thing back in April. And then, well, we're doing great, no problem. There are certain activities that are definitely being impacted by working from home. And the other thing that's happening now, too, is we're now in planning season. Everybody's starting to plan for 2021. And we all have to do that kind of remotely because most of us are not back in the office. So all the people that used to interface and you'd negotiate with and you'd go find information out, now you have to do it remotely. And we'll see how effective that is.
You know, it's strange that you bring this up. I'm one of those kind of guys that like working in the shop and the plant and so on. And we are, All Metals and Forge Group is basically operating remotely. And I got it. We put in a business continuity plan about 3-4 years ago and never had a chance really to use it until about 5 months ago. And it's operating so efficiently. And it's really working out well. I mean, you even hear people complimenting each other. Oh, thank you, and you did a good job, and so on and so forth. And even that's coming from people who are also non-home-bodied workers. But it's working well. And I would think that the commercial real estate industry is going to feel a negative impact no matter what percentage of companies say, you know what, this working remotely is not too bad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that's a big industry sector that's going to be impacted by this for some period of time, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. So, Tim, if you wouldn't mind walking our listeners through some of the high points in each of these categories, because some of them were great positive surprises, that would be terrific.
Sure. So I talked about the demand side. Let me talk about consumption. So production did really well at 63. Employment slowed its contraction, but it's still contracting. But the best number in quite some time here. We've had 13 straight months now of employment contraction. And I think that number is going to oscillate quite a bit here as furloughs end and government support activities end at the end of September. Companies then have to decide whether they bring people back or they let them go. A lot of comments around that. But on the consumption side, we had all six big industry sectors positive on production, which was better than the prior month. Employment, we had three positive of the big six industry sectors, up two from the prior month. So there's life there. Production growth rate was the best since January, you know, really good. And panelists, companies appear to be coping well with the new factory layouts, but their suppliers appear to be struggling at this point. So other comment, I'm not sure I shared this yet, is I do track comments around employment, and I've been watching active headcount management versus passive. And this month we had about an even 50-50 again of new hire comments versus force reductions. But of the force reduction piece, only about 65% of the 50% were related to active measures like layoffs and furloughs. The other 35% of that 50% were focused more on no new hires and attriting to an appropriate level. So I think the headcount area is still way up in the air, and we're going to see what happens, I think, probably in the October timeframe. Hopefully, by the time we end the year here, we're going to see employment growing again. But if you look at the other numbers that track that much more closely, like the initial jobless claims, they're still at very high levels, record levels. Every week they release numbers that are higher than they had ever been before the virus. And the net people on unemployment, although they're driving down, and there's probably about 8 or 9 million that have been reduced since the May timeframe, there's this other piece of unemployment to job shoppers and stuff that I don't think they're even counting in those numbers. And if you add that to the people who are let go because of the virus, it's a really onerous number. But so I think on the consumption side, I think the factories are able to produce more if they can get materials. So that gets us to the input side. So supplier delivery number went up again, which meant suppliers continued to struggle even worse than the prior month. And our inventory dropped quite a bit. Inventory went down 2.6. We're now 44, which is a pretty low number. Haven't seen that number in a couple of years. And I don't think it's because companies are micromanaging inventory to try to make sure they don't get stuck with it. I think it's because they can't get enough of it. And the supply base isn't able to produce. And a lot of the evidence for that is two other pieces. A lot of comments around transportation, difficulty in arranging transportation, transporters saying they'll show up and not showing up, contract carriers doing that. That's a sign that they're chasing rates. Spot prices on the transportation sector are up close to 10%. And the transportation sector is generally an area that precedes general manufacturing recovery. So I think that's a positive too. Transporters are having difficulty. There's other issues that are behind that, but I think there's plenty of equipment out there. There are some issues around drivers. Drivers generally tend to be older and maybe a little bit more susceptible to picking up the virus. Some of them don't really want to come back to work. The driver training schools are not graduating as many drivers as they have in the prior years. But on the other hand, oil and gas drivers are freed up and are coming into the general driving community, which is a positive. But I think, you know, the other thing is with drivers is that they tend to go to construction jobs before they go to a driving job. And with everything happening in new home construction, that's probably leading to a kind of a dearth of driver availability. The other thing I think that supports this, the whole recovery piece, is that prices went up to almost 60. They went up almost 6.3 points. Price expansion continues. Steel, copper, you know, basic foundation materials, metals are all up. Generally, prices are up everywhere. Soy is up. Other foodstuffs are up. But when, you know, when I see steel get to $500 a ton when it's been hanging around $440, that's a pretty good indication that things are good. When I see copper go over $3,000, that means that China's kind of recovering. The China PMI wasn't very good. They're still very sluggish, and if you accept the numbers on their face value, China PMI was at 51, you know, and it was at 51 in July. So that seems to be a bit sluggish, not quite sure why that is, but with all the press about how well they're recovering from the virus, I would think that number would be higher. I mean, I think the only thing you can kind of assume is that they're not getting European demand. And, you know, overall, you know, our comments were 1.4 to 1 positive this month, which was down from 2 to 1 in July. So there was a little bit more of a concern for August. And some of that probably has to do with the fact that the election is upon us and all the commotion and confusion around that. Are we really going to have one? What's it going to be like? Is anybody going to agree that it's done and that's the results? It's very unclear. So overall, overall, we're in good shape here, I think, for given where we are.
It looks great. And, you know, to my point at the beginning of our conversation about as to what's coming, one of your panelists made a comment about capital equipment and new orders have slowed. Quoting is active, which I could attest to that with regards to All Metals and Forge Group. And many customers waiting for the fourth quarter to make any commitments. And that was coming from the machinery industry. And therein lies the potential for numbers continuing to go up.
Yeah, for sure. But I think this is consistent. I mean, we've had a constraint on capital for a year and a half now. That doesn't have a lot to do with the virus. It had more to do with trade, tariffs, global trade and the uncertainty around that and where our trade arguments were going to lead us to. So trade seems to be coming back into the mix here. I think we put tariffs back on the Canadian aluminum, which is 65% of the aluminum used in the U.S. You know, that's going to cause a big, you know, ripple throughout all the manufacturing. But, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, people aren't really willing to make long-term investments for growth capital until they know where the U.S. is going to settle out, I think, in January.
I think you're right on that. And I think this really pertains a lot to the election and how that's going to turn out, because everything we say could flip-flop either left or right depending upon how that election goes.
Exactly.
Jim, I'm curious. ISM puts together an annual forecast, which it releases in December, and then a semi-annual update it releases in May. How is that looking today compared to what you talked about in May? How do we look?
Well, it's tough to say. Let me just kind of remind people what that May number looked like. Let's see. And it was a big change from the look that we took in December. Let's see here. So, you know, in December of last year, 2019, we thought CapEx would drop 2.3%. In May of this year, 19%. I think we're probably on track for that, if not more than that. In December 19, we thought revenues would be 4.8% up. And in the May timeframe, we thought they would be 10% down. And I think that's probably on track too. Feels about right. I mean, that's probably where we're at. I mean, because we're definitely not running at pre-COVID levels. Employment. In December 19, we thought we'd be flat for 2020. And in May, we thought we'd be down 5.3%. So if anything, that's probably conservative. It's probably worse than that. So those are the big headline numbers on the May update. And they're definitely still directionally right, meaning plus or minus. And at least in the case of employment, I think in the case of employment, in the case of revenue, in the case of CapEx, it could be worse than what we thought in May.
And despite the fact that we're seeing these pretty strong monthly reports, is that right, Tim?
Correct, because this is a month-to-month comparison. I mean, a purist says that this is a diffusion index of 56-point improvement over July, or actually a 6-point improvement over July's performance. And
right.
If you accept the fact that the PMI operates in a 25-point range, now that really says that we're about 20%, 25% better than July from an output standpoint. So I don't think I would be that surprised about that. But the question then becomes, all right, have we peaked out at our operating rate? Is there more to come? And that's a difficult one because the price is going up. It's going to cause people to place new orders, right? If suppliers are having difficulty in delivering, you're going to place new orders to get a position in the queue. And so you may have some artificial things impacting that new order number here that are driven by not just basic economics in the economy.
That might be a good way to try and sell more metal. New marketing strategy. Get in before the prices go up.
Well, yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, that's a recommendation I have. When prices are going the wrong way, place your orders, right?
Yeah, so exactly right.
Yeah, so we had some lead time comments. Yeah, well, you know that. Yeah, you quote me on that. So so I look at the supply delivery section in their comments. I look at the shortage comments. I look at the lead time comments. So for the first time, last year, 10% of the comments in supplier deliveries were lead time related. That was up from 6% in July. Shortage, 9% of the comments were shortage related. That was up from 8% in July, but we had 16% of the comments were shortage related in June. So it seems to be more lead time related, not so much precision related here. But yeah, I think it's a good report. That's positive momentum. I think the respondents are a little bit more concerned about the future, not so much about the virus, more about the election. The reason I put that quote in there on the machinery side is that machinery is a big capital intensive business, right? They make stuff that is durable. And I think that's a good indication of what's actually happening.
Well, I agree with you about that. I'd like to be able to see the machine tool index. But the problem with that is that they're always 2 months behind. So it's hard to predict when you're using old numbers.
Yeah, it's old news by the time you get it, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
This is great, Tim. I appreciate your time and your input. If I can remember the comment you made, we're going to use it because I was very, very optimistic.
Place your orders now before the prices go up.
There you go. Okay.
Well, Tim, if you would be so kind as to wrap this up for us as we conclude this segment, and again, we really appreciate you coming on, and we encourage all of our listeners to go to ismworld.org. That's the website where you will find this report, and you can read down through it in detail. I think it's important that our listeners really delve into the report. As Tim has pointed out, depends on the sector you're in. But, Tim, wrap it up for us because it looks great.
Yeah, so after completing clearly the first pure month of a steady economic activity or the ability to economically perform, we came into the 56 PMI number, which is beat the economists' expectations as well as my own. I figured we would be somewhere around 54. The demand side drove most of that. Consumption, production, kept up with most of it, but we did end up with a backlog, which is positive. At this point, we got prices rising, we've got transportation difficulties, and we got suppliers struggling to meet the demand, which has led to a decline in the inventory account. So hopefully they'll catch up on some of that in September, and September is a good manufacturing month. And, you know, closing on the year here looks pretty good from a manufacturing standpoint, ex any kind of external influences. And I think probably the biggest issue here is confidence around CapEx expenditures for the end of the year and 2021, and that's going to be election-driven. So overall, a good report.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll chat with you next month, and it'll be fascinating to see what these numbers compile at next month. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And we've been speaking with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's report on business for manufacturing. And we'll have the report on business for services. It used to be a report on business for non-manufacturing. Now the services report later this week. So check back with us at msgtalkradio.com for that report that will be coming up. And check out all of our podcasts, including the LAM podcast, this podcast, Manufacturing Talk Radio, Hazard Girls, about women in unusual roles in industry, Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman, who always talks about the economy and manufacturing. Fascinating show, a lot of great depth there. William Miller, who travels the country and wears Willie, reporting from factory floors, and full-time with Amy Nicholas. And as always, we appreciate you listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at msgtalkradio.com.